Hello, everyone. Welcome to the world premiere of our new limited series, Market or Pitch Presents Short Takes. I'm Yesenia Reynoso, one half of the squad. And to the opposite end of the spectrum is my good friend, partner, and marketing guru himself, Corey Davis.
Hey, everybody. Happy 2023. And virtual no more. Yesenia and I are happily joined together in a nice hotel in New York City to present our first episode of Short Takes. I'm so excited to really get into this because I have a lot to say today.
Absolutely. And I am so ecstatic that we are launching a brand new show under the Marketer Pitch umbrella. This is something that both Corey and I have discussed for quite some time since the season 3 ending of our regular podcast, Marketer Pitch, which, by the way, will be making its annual, will be making its return this fall. Wanted to welcome our entire Marketer Pitch family. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are listening across major podcasting airwaves, either domestically or internationally, welcome. And also, please don't forget to follow, share, comment, and most importantly, subscribe to Marketer Pitch at Marketer Pitch across Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Yes. And today we have a special show, a special short take. First, we have Yesenia giving her PR tip for us and hot take, and then followed by, usually I'm going to give myself for future episodes an advertising or marketing hot take, followed by a new story that we've both seen in the news that we really want to get into. But today I'm going to combine all of mine into one because, again, I told Yesenia, I was like, I'm so excited to actually speak with you guys, and I'm sure you guys are buzzing about this because I have a lot to get off my chest, and I'm using this podcast as my venting zone. And to that point, I would love for you guys to also use us as your venting zone. And please email us your comments. Please respond to us on social media, Instagram, Twitter. It's all Marketer Pitch. And please, just if you have any thoughts, just let us know. If you agree with us, I want to hear our kudos. If you disagree with us, I want to hear from your perspective why you disagree with me. But to that point is, we definitely want to inform, stay engaged with you all, and just be informed on all things we're hearing from you of what's going on in your lives.
Absolutely, Corey. And I think it's really important as we now going to be diving in into our very first episode of the limited series. Your opinion matters. And so if there's anything that you want to comment on, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're available across all major social media mediums and as well as email at marketerpitch@gmail.com. So please reach out to us and we'll be happy to correspond back to you. And so, Corey,
let's get started. You want to go ahead and give us yours?
All right. So we're about to launch the first episode of Short Takes with the Quick Take. And so I'm happy to give you my quick PR quick take, which stems from PR News, where a journalist wrote about employee advocacy and why it is important to showcase that across social media in mediums. And so my PR quick take is to utilize social media efficiently when you promote employee advocacy across your mediums. And the reason why I say this is because ever since 2020, especially with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and the COVID-19 pandemic, we have now seen audiences giving a much sharper increase in terms of social and advocacy related issues, and especially ones that are impacting employees internally. And so it is up to organizations to utilize their mediums, especially social media, since that is both the primary brand presence, both internally and externally. And so you want to be able to have employees who are well knowledge on the issue, but also the organization fully 100% on that, you know, on that advocacy topic, and then be able to correlate that story efficiently and effectively across your social media platforms. So have those conversations with your employees, come up with a digital communications strategy, and then how and why it needs to be promoted. So that way you'll be able to maximize engagement.
That's awesome. And that's your quick take of the a quick tip of the episode. And I think that's actually very engaging. That's actually, people should pay for that. I don't think you should be giving that away for free, but our listeners, because of you are a special Marketer Pitch podcast listener, you're getting some of these nuggets for free. But yeah, this is definitely a good one and something you guys should look forward to each and every single month, where Yesenia and I will give you some really cool tips that I think probably should be paid for, but we're giving to you for free. We're giving all the jewels away.
Absolutely. It's our way of showing how much we love you, and we definitely want all of you to utilize these tips as you mm-hmm. further amplify both your marketing and public relations / communications initiatives and plans. So please, hopefully this tip helps you out, very much looking forward to be discussing other quick tips that might be useful for our audience.
Yes. So this is March. So April, I will have the best quick tips for you guys from a marketing advertising perspective. But today is actually, it's my quick tip followed by our new story, which are all entangled together. It's a little less of a quick tip and more of a warning to brands that are listening. And it goes back to, we're coming off the heels of Black History Month. Of course, it's the shortest month of the year. And so you see where I'm going. I'm a little heated today. But the quick tip is for brands to really become intentional and to stop giving lip service and using diverse audiences as your puppet. That's a lot what I just said there. And I'll break it down further. We've seen over the past couple of years, of course, Yesenia was just bringing it up, after really the catalyst was the killing, unfortunate killing of George Floyd. But there's been countless others of killings, and even this year, unfortunately, there's been terrible police shooting in Memphis. So we've had police shootings, and we've had crazy racism that's happening, and a lot of brands, rightfully so, and advertising agencies and big communications companies have statements saying what are they actually going to be doing to move things ahead, to make a just and equitable world. They said they're going to increase spending, and we saw that. 2021, I think, was a great year. A lot of diverse audiences were able to benefit from brands actually making a stand in the community. But as we've seen from polling, and I believe we talked about it in the past episode, that all went away in 2022. And some of the advances that we're seeing are completely gone. And I think brands need to take a stand. And if you have no intentions to really make a difference in diverse audiences' lives, to really build the community up, you don't have to say anything. After George Floyd, I'm pretty sure Halliburton didn't release a statement. Why? Because they have no intentions of doing it. You know, if you are a brand, let's say brand A, I'm not going to name any brands, but brand A, if you release a statement after the police of George Floyd, letting us know what you're going to be doing internally for the future to make things a just world, I'm going to hold you to it. And if you're not going to do it, then it's more of a slap in your face for you to tell me a story and then go against your word, versus a company like Halliburton, for example. And they're just one of many who don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And people, especially by people, I mean Black and brown audiences, they're looking for authentic voices. And they see through corporate bullshit, if I'm being quite honest. And when you release statements and you go against your word, you become part of the problem and not part of the solution. So I would encourage brands to really only make statements and really only to give PR and communications for things that they're actively looking at doing versus things they think the audiences want to hear to make a quick buck.
You know what's funny? And I think the fact that my quick tip is coordinated, it's correlated to a certain degree to what you're stating about brands not being properly prepared in talking about advocacy issues. It definitely correlates. Connect, I should say, to a performative action. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing the fact that brands are taking a step back from their promises. It's from what they made back in 2020, and they're falling back to the same old traps or the same old, pardon my French, bullshit that we've been typically been seeing from companies prior to 2020. And so we need to now ask ourselves, what's holding them back? Why are they doing these kinds of performative actions? Why aren't they not taking the lead? And then you have to start looking at it from both an external and an internal standpoint. Externally, does it affect their revenue lines? Does it affect their reputation? Or they're simply too uncomfortable in not addressing the issue properly as it should, because either they generally do not know or they just simply do not care. And it doesn't fit to what we're, to what their standards are.
Agree. And going back to your word performative, that's a key buzzword, and why I think it's performative, because people who perform, let's look at the definition of performative and perform. Performing is acting, doing something that's not your innately you, is acting out something else. It's performative because some of these same brands do not have the black and brown employees at it making just and high level decisions and within their company.
Yep.
So you're allowing yourself to hear from other white, just putting it bluntly, men and women who are making decisions what they think is the right thing, versus actually having somebody who's black or brown, who's a decision maker within your company, can say like, hey, this is actually what we shouldn't be doing, or hey, this is actually the right decision. So I think a lot of these companies have to look internally, like as you were just saying, Yesenia, mm-hmm. is to look at what do I need to do to really make a difference? And if you don't want to make a difference, I'm totally okay with that. I have no idea if Volkswagen, I drive a Volkswagen, I have no idea what their stances are. But are they actively making statements after a police killing? No, they are not. So if you don't have anything to say, it's okay not to say anything. But if you do have something to say, I'm going to hold you very accountable to it. And when you don't, and when you go against your word, I'm gonna be the first one to call you out for it.
There has been reports that that have been coming out across the trades where a lot of those diversity roles, especially those on the senior executive levels, they're starting to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And so you now have to legitimately question as to why those kinds of roles are disappearing, and also what has the organization done across talent management levels to further increase the mobility of black and brown talent.
Agreed.
And you also have to, if you're going to be very, if you're going to be very dedicated, You need to be truly genuine to the cause. Mm-hmm. You can't just simply say, oh, we're going to be doing this and this, and just so in the end you go back on your word and it doesn't work out. We're becoming a much more multiracial country, and we're starting, and many consumers are seeing right through the bull the lack of authenticity towards diverse messaging. And so, for these brands, you need to have representation. You need to start building genuine, genuine avenues, for talent to not only rise up, but you also have to look at initiatives, both internally and externally, from programs to workshops, training sessions, and developing different types of groups, whether it's ERGs or affinity groups, whatever it is, whatsoever. You need to genuinely do an entire overhaul of your organization and see what you have and what you're willing to put in. And you got to have senior management be fully involved, and it starts at the top. And unfortunately, we have to say this, and you've reiterated, the fact is that the majority of corporate America, regardless of the industry sector that you work in, and both you and I worked in marketing and PR respectively, the majority of it is white. And so you have a demographic who still to this day still has not gotten into grasp as to the ramifications of what the atrocities that black and brown people have gone through. And they still don't genuinely understand as to why black and brown communities feel, or individuals feel, the way that they do. And you also have to look at the system, because at the end of the day, it's the system that is preventing talent and as well as different kinds of messaging from getting out to the masses. And so you have to ask about the system itself. It needs to be overhauled, but But to what extent? Because there's going to be people out there who are going to be defending the system that is already, we already know, it's bound to fail. Mm-hmm. It's going to collapse. And so, and there's no stopping it. Sorry, guys. Hate to break the news to you. And so why are people so persistent in preserving a damaging system that it's not, you know, that is not efficient for everybody? They're not making it equitable for all. And so if you're going to be talking about DEIA, if you're going to be promoting different types of digital / advocacy communications and marketing, you need to do a full-blown sweep and measure the sentiment from not only your internal staff, but also externally from your audience as well. And genuinely put your best foot forward in the movement and be like, we're going to be doing these changes and hold us accountable. We're going to be doing this by so-and-so, because if you're not going to have if you don't have the full support of the team, and if you don't have the leadership, the right and the correct mindset, then it's bound for failure.
Agreed. And I just to add it, and I know we're running long. We're turning our short takes to long takes.
Yeah.
But this is just infuriating to me. So this is all coming about because everyone knows, I'm going to have to get into the hoopla of Twitter. We talked about this ad nauseum on a few episodes.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Elon Musk bought Twitter. Everyone knows that some of the level of nonsense that he's been spewing on his platform, his private company.
Yeah.
Everyone knows... you know, just some of the right wingers who now feel emboldened by Elon Musk owning Twitter, coming back to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So when that initially came out, a lot of brands said, like, we're cutting Twitter off. We're not advertising on it. That was a few months back, probably November, December. And last week, Elon Musk actually tweeted, and I quote, I don't want to get this wrong, and I don't want Elon Musk to sue Marketer Pitch, because he probably would. But he actually tweeted that that the media is racist against white and Asians. And, you know, I'm not going to get into, like, how unequivocally false that is. I'm not getting into any details on I'll try to defend that. One, if you actually believe an ounce of that, you probably listen to the wrong podcast. But two, I'm not really going to get into it, but I just realized this is what the founder of a company is actually still tweeting to this day. And meanwhile, the same exact week that he announced those crazy tweets, WPP, which is one of the four big advertising holding companies, CEO, actually said, Twitter seems to be more stable than the last few months than perhaps it was towards the end of last year. And I think clients want to start looking how they can come back to Twitter. The same clients 4 months back who said, we're going to leave the platform, we're going to stop or pause spending because of some of the egregious tweets and egregious opinions from Elon Musk, when he just said the most egregious things possible today, last week, they all are looking to come back. Why? Because in their minds, the audiences are still there and they care more about advertising than they do about actually making a stand and a principle. And it goes back to my earlier point. Halliburton didn't say anything at all. So I'm not going to give, and I'm sorry, Halliburton, I'm using you as a scapegoat, but it's just one example. I'm not going to really defend them, but a company who put a pause a few months back, or holding companies like a WPP mm-hmm. that advise all their clients to stop spending, why all of a sudden did what change? The messaging from Elon Musk got worse, but you're already celebrating Twitter coming back to Twitter. And because of that, Twitter stock has gone up. So there's a level of lip service and level of just 180. To me, it just shows how disengaged some of these brands are to their audiences. And if some people start voicing their opinion, boycotting some of your products, then you have to look from within to realize I made a mistake. And maybe I should not have gone out against Twitter if I knew I would come right back home.
And I want to make a quick point before we wrap up. It's a conflict of interest from a messaging standpoint, but we're also seeing, due to the toxicity of the culture for individuals, if you say something that goes against the primary narrative, you are going to get blasted, mm-hmm. slandered, canceled, whatever it is to prevent any real truth telling to be spread out to the masses. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, we are living in an extremely heavy narrative state where the majority of the messaging is controlled by the most powerful corporate oligarchs mm-hmm. Imaginable. And they need to have that and obviously it comes down to money, power, and influence, as we all know. But because they control all of the primary media avenues and mediums, they control the messaging, which means they could shape-shift any kind of narrative that they want. Agreed. And because of that, they brainwash the masses into believing that. And so, and this has been something that has been going on for a very long time. And so for those who are desperately trying to break out of that matrix and to start telling the truth, no matter how brutal it is, people who have those differences of opinions are getting slandered and or canceled because of it, and that is wrong beyond belief. But that is something that it has been increasing for quite some time, and unfortunately it's becoming more dangerous.
Agree. And that's the end of my take. I had got it off my chest. I'm happy about this, but yeah.
You feel relieved, Corey?
I feel relieved. I'm cooling down.
There you go. And that, you know, that's what Short Takes is all about. It's about giving our quick vision as to what we're seeing in the marketing and PR fields, and why it's important for you, our marketer pitch community, to not only be aware, but to learn and educate yourselves about it. And so with that wraps up our very first episode of the limited series, Marketer Pitch Presents Short Takes. Corey, any last words?
No. I hope everyone has a great rest of their month, and looking forward to connecting with you guys all next month.
Absolutely. Well, with that, thank you all so very much for listening to our very first episode of the limited series, which will be running its course until September. And don't forget, we are ecstatic that Marketer Pitch will soon be making its grand season 4 return in the fall. We're going to be offering more details about that. So if to access this episode, and as well as everything on the Marketer Pitch library, you'll be able to access it across all major podcasting mediums, YouTube, and the Helium Radio Network. Like, share, comment, subscribe to this limited series, and as well as the podcast in general. And don't forget, if you have any comments or questions, please, we want to hear from you. Hit those DMs and email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com. Otherwise, we will see you next month for episode 2 of the limited series, Short Takes. Take care, everyone.
Bye.